From the Gospel of Mark in chapter 7, verse 24 and following. From there, Jesus set out and went away to the region of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know he was there, yet he could not escape notice. But a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit immediately heard about him, and she came and bowed down at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile of Syrophoenician origin. She begged him to cast out the demon of her daughter. He said to her, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." But she answered him, "Sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Then he said to her, "For saying that, you may go. The demon has left your daughter." So she went home, found the child lying on the bed, and the demon gone. Then he returned from the region of Tyre and went by way of Sidon towards the Sea of Galilee in the region of the Decapolis. They brought to him a deaf man who had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to lay his hands on him. He took him aside in private, away from the crowd, and he put his fingers into his ears, and he spat and touched his tongue. Then looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." And immediately his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. Then Jesus ordered them to tell no one. But the more he ordered them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. They were astounded beyond measure, saying, "He has done everything well. He even makes the deaf to hear and the mute to speak." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Bill was a young 22-year-old man who was used to being told what to do. He was from a very successful family, a hard-charging business magnate of a father who wanted the best for his son. He placed high standards upon him and was so driven that Bill often felt insecure, inadequate, as though he was not enough and never quite lived up to his father's expectations. Bill's father was such a successful and influential person as Bill was growing up in the 50s that his father was personal friends with Dwight D. Eisenhower, one of our presidents of the United States. And once while President Eisenhower was visiting with Bill and his parents in their home, they were there to go on a hunting excursion. It was back in the days and places where quail were plentiful, a thing of the past, Lamon McLean would tell us. But they were preparing to go on a quail hunt, but it was a very cold day, frigid outside. And as they were standing near the fireplace, contemplating the question, it was asked of the president. He was the guest. "President Eisenhower, what do you want to do? Do you want to go outside and hunt? Or do we want to stay here by the fire and reminisce?" And just as the question was posed to the president, he turned to young 22-year-old Bill and said, "Bill, what do you think?" Bill Marriott said that exchange changed his whole life in understanding leadership and developing others. Bill Marriott would go on to lead Marriott Hotels to acclaim far beyond what his father ever accomplished himself. And even today, Marriott says the most powerful words in business are those four letters. What do you think? He says it opens up in others their potential. It gives them encouragement when we in ourselves as leaders entrust and ask their opinion, showing confidence in them. There is power, Bill Marriott would say, in listening. You know, that's at the root of what Marriott was practicing. That's at the root of how Dwight Eisenhower led our nation and the Allied forces during World War II, by having a humility, even in leadership, to listen to those around you. Friends, it works in business. It works in sport. Many of us are familiar with Coach Jim Drury, a legend in our state in football. Right, Vince? Coach Drury won state championships at Boonville High School, coached for years at Kossuth. But a little known fact, two of my brother-in-laws, Manya's brother and our brother-in-law, played football for Coach Drury. As he moved into Boonville and he first took the team to a state championship, there was a time in the transition where his team wasn't getting it. They weren't understanding his offense. He was changing everything around and it wasn't working. Coach Drury called his leaders together, his seniors together, and he said, "Let me listen to you. What do we need to do differently?" They made some changes. And together, they knew a success that they would have never known had he not listened as a leader. Friends, there's power in listening. There's transformation among those around us when we are willing to embody them with confidence by listening and asking what Bill Marriott embraces: "What do you think?" You know, in our scripture today, we are reminded that not only is our God all-powerful, but our God does, in the words of our sermon title this morning, all things well, in the words of our scripture. He, too, is a good listener. You see, that's at the root of what's happening in this complicated text where we try to digest what Jesus meant when he said, "Let the children be fed first before the dogs receive their meal." Now, if you're like Manya and Lynn, that's not such a traumatic statement. I think both of them have signs in their homes that say something like this: "I like my dog more than some people." Many of us are that way. But in the complications of this scripture, what we should not miss is the fact that both of those who were restored, the Syrophoenician woman, the man of his deafness, both of those, the scripture says, begged out to Jesus. They cried out to our Lord for restoration, and he, dear church folk, listened. It was out of his norm. It was a new call to faith, to embrace those of the Gentile origin, those who were not the chosen people of God, the people Israel. It turned the world of faith upside down that these Gentiles would listen to him even in ways beyond what his Jewish ancestors would. You see, in their listening, Jesus listened to them. There's power in the transformational power of us and through our God, because he first listened to our needs. We, as his children, should listen to his. You know, I find it intriguing, and I preached on this as we celebrated the life of author Stanford this past week. I find it intriguing that of the Ten Commandments given to us by our God, that most all of those commandments, eight of them in fact, they speak of things that we should not do. They're calls of omission, things we need to abstain from. "Do not do this," God says. But of the commandments, there are two commandments that are commissions to us, things that we should do. Those commandments are commandment 4 and 5. And both of them are central, I believe, in calls of faith for us to listen. Commandment 4, honor your father and mother. Or excuse me, commandment 4 is remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. Commandment 5 is honor your father and mother. You know, if you think of honoring someone, if we embrace that word in a legal setting, when a judge approaches the bench and the court attendants say, "All rise, the honorable judge is before you," that is a call for the audience to hush up and to listen. We honor those around us by listening. Surely the call to faith in the commandments for us to honor our father and mother, at the very root, is a call for us to listen. And why do you think God would call us to listen to our parents? Because, friends, there's no doubt above anyone on the earth, they have our best interests and concern more than anyone else. It's a gift to us. That's the call of faith, to listen to our parents. And at the root of worship, when God says to us in commandment 4 to remember the Sabbath and keep it holy, yes, this is a day of worship. But you know, also involved in our worship is a time to do this, to slow down and listen to our God. Isn't that what Jesus is practicing in our text this morning? Our scripture tells us that Jesus went away. He went to the region of Tyre and Sidon. He went to the Decapolis where the Gentiles were. In our land, he would be like going to another country, going to Mexico. He was trying to get away. He, dear friends, was seeking, it sounds, Sabbath and rest and restoration too. He embraced and understood that if we will slow down from time to time, not only can we worship more effectively, but we can listen more fervently. You know, I remember the story of a young girl who was trying to get her father's attention. Maybe you've seen a child do this, where they're talking and the parent is somewhat listening. Have you ever seen a child take their face with both hands and look them deep in the eye and say, "Listen, listen to what I'm saying"? There was once a little girl who asked her father to listen, and he was busy doing everything, and he was trying to fix something he was working on, and he said, "Honey, I am listening." She said, "I know you're listening, Daddy, but listen a little slower, would you?" She was telling him to slow down. Doesn't it work for us? If we are so busy, friends, hear this. Will you receive it with me? Hear this, coaches. Hear this, business people. Receive this, teachers, and even students. You know, we beat ourselves up. All of our young people, they have so much stress and pressure on them. Performing academically, perhaps athletically, trying to fit in with all this wealth of challenge and adversity. And every once in a while, friends, we need to do this. And I have to hear this. We need to slow down so we can listen and hear God more effectively. And you know what He says to us more than anything else? "I love you just as you are." Kenny says, "You don't have to earn my love. You don't have to impress me, Sharon, with your accolades or your accomplishments. I love you through my grace just as you are." Friends, we can't hear that in our busyness until we embrace that Sabbath on this day, until we slow our lives enough to say, "God, I want to rest in you and be restored in you, and then I can go forth and attack the world, coach, with renewed strength and passion to serve the Lord with His love." There is strength. And there is power to transform when we listen more attentively. But maybe the question before us today is this also. Preacher, how do we listen? Can you give us some nuggets today to help us? We're eager to listen to God more fervently, but can you remind us and strengthen us some way, even as we reflect on God's Scripture, of how we can listen? I've shared with some of you before the acronym that I use at times that reminds me of how to listen more fervently to God. The acronym that I use to model the act of listening is built on the word pray. And first, if we embody the P of that acronym, pray, that is the first call of us, of how to listen more fervently to our God as we listen in prayer. We have to slow down daily. Spend a few minutes as you begin your day praying and not only speaking to God, but it seems the more we speak to God, the more equipped we are to listen to God. We begin listening to our Lord through prayer. The next letter of that acronym is the R, and it reminds me, in my pursuit of listening to God, to read His Word, to hear what He has to say, to embrace Holy Scripture, friends, daily. It doctors our soul. It is a balm to our spirit. That's not preacher talk that I'm trying to tell you to do, because that would make you a good Christian. That's the voice of one crying out, who's found in God's holy word a gift for his journey of faith and life. As a father, as a parent, as a church leader, as a business person, as one just trying to get through this world in a way that glorifies my God. May we, friends, read and listen through his scripture. The next letter of the PRAY acronym is to adore God. Yes, we do that on Sunday morning in worship. But friends, hear this. Will you receive it with me? Worshiping God is not just a one day a week thing. Worshiping God, if we could see this with fresh eyes, that worshiping God, friends, is a gift to us. God calls us to worship because that's the greatest thing we can have to strengthen ourselves in our journey. That's why our catechism says, the chief end of man, the number one, most important thing, even Solomon in all of his wisdom would say, is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Our God deserves our worship, yes, because He's worthy, but He calls us to worship because that's how much He loves us. You see, when we adore God, here's what happens. We simply count our blessings. Lynn and I spoke about this week when we were preparing worship. To adore God is to embrace this, an attitude of gratitude. I don't know about y'all, but when I start counting my blessings and I make my list of everything good God is doing, it seems like all the bad stuff gets a little smaller. Have you ever noticed how a magnifying glass works? When you look under a magnifier at an object, it gets larger, right? And everything else seems to get smaller. What if we, in our daily journey of faith, will magnify more fully the good that God is doing? Wouldn't it make it where the bad seems so much smaller? There would be more joy in our life. That's why God calls us to worship. Friends, that's how we listen. We listen for the good things that God is doing, even amidst the bad. We don't ignore the bad. We don't minimize the bad. But even in the challenges and adversity of this broken world, let's be real, it is hard, but may we not overlook the good, even in the bad. If we do, friends, we're simply depriving ourselves of the joy God has ordained for us as His children. We do that by listening, by praying, by reading His Word, and by adoring Him daily in worship. counting our blessings, having an attitude of gratitude. And finally, we listen in this way. We listen by yoking ourselves to Christ. Here's what I mean. When we yoke ourselves with Christ, it means we're working. We're doing His work. You see what that means to me is when we yoke ourselves with Christ, we're becoming this. We're becoming active listeners. Isn't that great? Miss Hood would tell us as an educator, she can try to teach someone till they're blue in the face, or until she's blue in the face, which way to spell there, they are, there. She can do it, but until they practice it and embrace the pencil themselves, they will not become active listeners. And how about this? Think about this. Do you ever have a friend that asks your advice a lot, but they never do what you tell them? Have you ever had that? I've got friends like that. Some of you probably do. They ask you advice. They want to know your opinion. They never listen to you. And they keep doing the same thing over and over. You know what happens ultimately? You stop giving advice, right? You close them out. Or at least close out the instruction. Friends, I know we don't have a works righteousness. But I know what we do matters in our faith. Doing what God calls us to do doesn't save us. We're saved by grace. But doing God's will does create more joy and fullness and fruit in our life. We are held accountable in what we do. There is more joy. There's consequences when we don't walk in ways of God and when we do. So what I'm saying is, if we're not active listeners in our faith, if Jesus is saying to us, there's things you need to do and there's things you don't need to do, and if we never listen, maybe He, like us at times, gets tired of trying to help and He gives us what we want. May we, as people of faith, be active listeners that embody our faith, for our Lord indeed is a God who listens. I'm preaching fast today, I know. But I do have one more point I want to share with you today. Maybe you're saying to me, look, Jody, I hear you saying that we have a God who listens. I hear you saying that in our scripture, when they begged out to Him, He answered, He restored the man of his deafness. He healed the woman's whose child. But Jody, I've been praying out and I've been asking to God, and I'm not so sure He's listening to me with the same fullness that He listened to them. I hear you. I've been there. I've raised that same question myself. But would you consider with me this morning, church, that in our scripture with the Syrophoenician woman, in her request to God, do you notice that she didn't get her answer when she wanted? And she didn't get her answer exactly how she wanted. But ultimately, her daughter was restored. Friends, we have a God that, because Jesus Christ embodied the cross of Calvary, that we as Gentile people will ultimately, fully be restored for whatever we require and request for God's glorification in our life. It may be on this side of heaven or on the other. And sometimes it's in ways that we can't even see. We have a God, friends, who listens and restores. May we listen more fervently as we're a part of His kingdom coming to earth. Amen.